Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have one of our favorite special segments, Internet Insanity, where I learn about a truly shocking beauty regimen, and Laura puts us all to the challenge. We wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, welcome to episode 62. Laura, how are you?
Hi, we're doing good. How are you?
Good. How old's your baby? What's going on?
My baby is 7 months old.
Woohoo!
He turned 7 months this week, and oh boy, so it's been a week. So he is starting to do an army crawl.
All right.
He's not really interested in getting his knees underneath him, but he is starting to he puts his little, like, right elbow out, and then with his, like, left foot, he pushes off at the same time, and he can get around pretty well like that. So now we're in for it because he's mobile.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, shit, we gotta baby-proof now. So, yeah.
Hide that cat water.
Gotta hide that cat water, cat food. Who
cat
knows?
Food.
Cats.
Cat litter, cats.
Yeah.
Everything cats.
Everything. So that's, you know, but that's exciting because, you know, it's always exciting when they hit a new big motor milestone. So I was excited to see that. And I feel like he's been very motor advanced, according to his doctor. But on this one, he's kind of average, it seems like.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It seems like his friends from Mommy and Me are doing it already or already doing the army crawl. And, you know, if I remember, Cece was like planking at 6 months. Like, he's never done a plank. I mean,
good
maybe
for him.
It's because,
why jump into exercise,
right?
That's painful and cruel before you have to?
I mean, he is my son, so if I could get away with never doing a plank again, I would. So I don't blame him. But yeah, so it's exciting that he's, you know, starting to move around and, you know, a little terrifying at the same time. So let's see. There's another thing that's happening this week is we have decided to transition from 3 naps to 2 naps.
Oh, okay. So this is quite a clear delineation. I feel like our nap schedule's just been like, yeah, whatever happens, it's kind of like working down, kind of, but sounds like you made a firm decision about it.
I did. So, you know, I've talked about in the past how we started nap training, and I didn't really follow up because it's been a long process.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to get to the point where, you know, so we do our nap training is essentially like sleep training at night, but for naps. And so what we do is we've created a little mini routine for the nap. So instead of like dinner and bath, you know, what we do is like we nurse and then we sing like one song and we read books because he doesn't want to read books before bedtime. But I figured that's the time he can sort of get some books in. And we also for nap time routine, we dim the room and I turn the white noise on before we start everything because the whole idea is we're trying to get him into the mindset of sleep. But with the nighttime sleep training, I was actually like keeping the lights on up until the very last second because I didn't want him to fall asleep nursing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So with this, it's sort of, it's a little bit of the inverse because I want to get him into like the sleeping mindset. And it's been working. And then what you do is, you know, you put him down, you know, awake but drowsy in the crib. And if he cries, you know, you do your pop-ins. And the thing that I didn't really know what to do about is like, how long do you keep popping in? And taking care of babies says you should like give him 45 minutes to an hour. And I was like, oh God, I hope that doesn't happen. And thankfully that didn't happen. Like the most he ever cried, I think, was like 20 minutes at the very beginning of nap training, which was painful, but you know, he actually eventually went to sleep. So, and then the other part of nap training is you consider anything less than 50 minutes to be too short and you let them try to put themselves back to sleep if they wake up before 50 minutes. And this is where we sort of run into problems because with the 3 naps, it just seems like he wasn't tired enough to, you know, to really like get a good nap in. And also with 3 naps, it's hard to do stuff with your day because your wake windows are between, what, 1.5 to 2 hours, I think. Actually, you don't, let me look this up. So when you do 3 naps, when you're like, this is all according to Kara, Taking Care of Babies. I think her name is Kara Dumoplin. I always want to call her Kara Dumplin.
Oh.
But so she says that if you're between 5 and 6 or 6 to 7 months, so like 5 to 7 months, your wake window should be between 2 and 3 hours. So that means that if you're like going out and you need to be back for nap training, because the idea is you should be doing your nap training in the crib, you like are rushed, you know, like, okay, we're going to go to the store. We're going to get this all done in like 30 minutes and we're going to be back and we're going to do our wind down routine. And it was getting really hard. But then I realized also he was starting to have early wake ups. Like he was starting to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning again. And that was a sign that something was weird. And then I read her little summary that she has in the pamphlet that she gives you. It's more like a booklet. It's actually pretty long, that you get when you buy the ABCs of Sleep course. That's the course for between 5 and 24 months. And it says signs it's time to transition to two naps. It says baby is 6 to 7 months old and at least one of the following. A, baby starts to struggle to fall asleep or stay asleep at nap time. That was his deal. That's actually always was his deal. Like he could never stay asleep like past 25, 30 minutes. Remember, he was like a short ass napper.
He was a very short napper.
Short napper. So I was like, well, that was already the case. So he already checked one of the boxes.
What is the age between 5 and 7 months?
No, between 6 and 7 months. So if your baby is between 6 and 7 months and at least one of the following is happening.
Okay.
B, nap number 3 interferes with bedtime. So there's not enough time for a full wake window before the appropriate bedtime. That was also happening. So he'd wake up at like 5:30, but then by 7 he was really tired and then, you know, there wasn't enough wake time before bed.
Mm-hmm.
C was baby is consistently refusing nap 3. We also had that. Like I would have to like boob him to sleep for the third nap.
Right.
And then D was early morning wakings or middle of the night wakings begin or never seem to stop despite sleep training. We thankfully had them stopped thanks to sleep training, but they started again, the early morning wakings. And I was like, okay, my baby is 6 to 7 months and fits all of the following. I should probably transition. So we started her method of transitioning, which is essentially, well, okay, the plan was to do her like transition period where you like start stretching those wake windows and, you know, she writes about how hard it's going to be and yada, yada. He literally took to it day one.
Oh, good.
So we're doing it, and I don't want to jinx it, but he has been sleeping so much better during the day. He's getting more sleep on aggregate, like for the number of hours he's asleep during his two naps than he ever got with his three naps. So I have high hopes about this. I think it's great.
That's awesome.
Yes. Here's the complicating factor. So it turns out he has an ear infection.
Oh, well, that will mess with things.
So I don't know if I can trust the nap training or if it's just because the poor guy is like sick and in pain. So so do you remember how he had a cold for like 3 weeks? He had like parvovirus, then he got a cold. So he had this cough that just kept lingering. And eventually, it was Friday, actually, of this week, I called my doctor to be like, look, it's going to be the weekend. He's still coughing. Otherwise, he's acting fine, but let's just, like, make sure it's okay. And they're like, you know, if he's still coughing, you should bring him in. So I bring him in. Doctor, like, takes his temperature, you know, goes through the whole rigmarole, looks in the ears, looks down the throat, and she's like, so the cough is fine, but he has a raging ear infection.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, am I a terrible mom? Like, what? And I was like, oh, my God. How? I had no idea. Like, he's not tugging on his ears. He didn't have a fever. And my doctor said that apparently asymptomatic ear infections are so common at this age that it's super common for babies to come into their 6 or 9 month, like, well visit appointment and have a massive ear infection.
Oh, poor guys.
I know. I felt so bad. So anyway, we got baby's first antibiotics.
Oh, how did he do on those?
He loves it. It tastes like candy. It's amoxicillin, you know, bubblegum. It also like brings back memories for me, like smelling it. I was like, I remember this. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, my older daughter's had that medicine before and it's like has not changed a bit since I was a kid.
I know, like the 80s. It's amazing. So yeah, he's great. And we have like a check. They only wanted to see him like 3 weeks later, even though it was, I think, 7 days of the antibiotics. So we'll see. But it doesn't seem to bother him.
Well,
so,
that's good news at least.
And I should say that my doctor is like very hesitant to give antibiotics. Like she said that normally what they do is when they see an ear infection in a baby of this age, they like to wait and see and recheck in like a week because sometimes they'll just resolve. But she said because he had been sick for 3 weeks and because of the severity of it, she gave antibiotics. So okay. Another doctor at the practice was like, oh, she actually gave you antibiotics? Because she's known as like the doctor who will not give antibiotics. So
must
have been pretty bad.
It must have been really raging.
I know, poor guy. Anyway, again, it doesn't seem to bother him, but I feel bad. So
yeah. He doesn't seem bothered by it. So that, and he's sleeping. So you would think if he was in pain, he would not be sleeping during nap. So
you'd think, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm holding on to. So anyway, that is the roller coaster that we've been on this week.
Woo!
Woo! I feel like I've like gone like highs and lows and everywhere in between.
No,
Shauna,
kidding.
Why don't you tell me, how old is your baby this week? I have a guess.
8 months old.
Oh, yay.
Oh, yeah. And we have big news this week.
Oh, yeah.
We stopped breastfeeding.
Oh, how do you feel?
Good, because, you know, it was intentional for me. Like, I was doing the weaning process, but I didn't know exactly when it would end because I was going with the flow. And I didn't want to ever put too much pressure or emotion on, like, the final feed or anything like that. So my mindset was always, well, I'll drop this feed and see how we all do. And I just kept doing that until we were down to one last feed in the mornings. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to ever just pick a day and be like, today's the last day. Because I just felt like I would be an emotional mess if I was so specific about it. And so I was like, you know what? It's not bad. And maybe I'll just keep this up for 6 more months. Who knows? I'm willing to go with the flow. And the first few days we were doing it once in the morning. And I just kept thinking, if I ever just wake up one morning and think, I don't really want to do it this morning, I'll try a bottle instead. Then we just will. And 2 days later, I woke up with that feeling.
Really?
Yeah. 2 days later, I was like, you know, let's just try a bottle this morning and just see how it goes. And she was fine. She was not sentimental about quitting, which is good. Good for me. We did a bottle and she went the whole day with bottles and she was great and I was okay. And I was like, well, you know, in hindsight, it was better. It's like, well, gosh, that was probably our last nursing.
Aww.
And so it was less like emotional for me to think of it that way, like in hindsight.
Yeah.
But then by 6 p.m. the next day, my boobs were killing me. They were just like,
I was going to ask, how does that work?
Well, you kind of get engorged, even though I'd been tapering off.
Yeah.
You know, it still builds up and stuff. And I wasn't sure what that was all going to be like. And so by 6 p.m. the next day, I was feeling that. And I was like, oh, I guess maybe I could just like pump a little bit to relieve the pressure. Mm-hmm. And I got out the hand pump and I was like, I don't want pumping to be my last hurrah ever with breastfeeding. Definitely don't want that.
Yeah.
So I nursed her before bed a little bit that night. And in my head, I was like, I think this is definitely the last one. Like, I'm getting a little emotional, and which is crazy because like I intended to do this. This was my choice, you know, but still a lot of emotions are all tied up in it.
Yeah, just because you did it intentionally doesn't mean it doesn't have emotions attached.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Not to mention hormones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The hormones for sure. So I bawled my eyes out the whole last feeding. And I was
just Cece like, what is going on?
I think so. I think she was confused. But she's really, really good at eye contact. And she knows how to deliver it when you need it most. So she's just nursing and staring at me. And I'm crying. And I'm like, I think this is the last one. Because, you know, I had gone 36 hours before I felt any pain or anything.
Wow.
So I knew, you know, I knew it was kind of starting to dry up. I had taken Sudafed for a couple days. Yeah, I was trying to dry up with Sudafed. I took an allergy pill, an antihistamine.
Plus, you get all that energy from that Sudafed.
Oh, you know I love Sudafed. We've talked about that before.
I know. We're such maniacs for Sudafed.
So I knew that the milk was drying up and this would probably be it. So I didn't even nurse her very long, just enough to kind of like make myself feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, you'll have a bottle for the rest. And she gave me that eye contact and I gave it right back and just snuggled my little sweetie.
No.
And that was that.
Wow.
End of an era.
It is. You got your boobs back.
Yeah, I do.
Your boobs are yours again. Amazing. What's that like?
It's good. I like it. I love the baby snuggles, but I don't need that type of contact mm-hmm. to feel close to my baby and snuggly. She's a pretty snuggly baby anyway, which is nice. So it's nice to have my boobs back and not be producing the milk and not being worried about supply and yeah. all of that stuff that goes along with it. It's just like, sayonara.
Bye. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I feel good.
Good. I'm glad. That's how you should feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you went 8 months. That's a long ass time.
Yeah. That was a record for me of all the times I've breastfed in my life. One other time. I made it 6 months. So I beat my record.
That's all we care about is beating our previous records.
Anyway, that's really my only check-in this week. That's what we've been doing. So,
that's a big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Should we take a break and move on to our special segments?
I think we should.
Okay. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we're back with our special segment, and our special segment this week is a fun one. It's Internet Insanity, where we talk about the funny, hilarious, weird, bizarre, other adjectives, things that we found on the internet. Shauna, do you have an internet insanity for us?
Oh, do I ever.
I can't wait. I love this segment.
I do too. Fair warning, this is probably going to sound X-rated.
I mean,
but it's not.
Okay. I was going to say we are an explicit podcast due to all the cursing.
Yes, true. So in one of my mom's groups, we talk about beauty things sometimes. And something that came up recently is the penis facial. Right? See, that sounds X-rated, but I swear it isn't.
I'm really curious how it's not.
It's kind of worse.
Please tell me more.
It's kind of even worse. So this is like a big high-end beauty treatment.
Can I just reiterate that it's called the penis facial?
It is. That
like
might be
a part of the male genitalia.
Yes.
Okay, penis. Go on.
And I highly doubt the high-end salon uses that term. They might use something fancier than the penis facial, but that's what it is. So the likes of Sandra Bullock, Kate Blanchett, these very sophisticated, beautiful women are doing this thing called the penis facial. So let me tell you all about it in case you want to get in on it, Laura.
I'm withholding judgment. Go forth.
So I looked this up and read an article on Huffington Post and saw a video of Sandra Bullock on the Ellen DeGeneres show talking about how she gets her amazing facial that is from an extraction of the foreskins of Korean babies.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
This doesn't sound legal.
It really doesn't, right? The ethical implications are bananas here.
Wait, does she admit that that's where it comes from?
So she's very reluctant when she tries to describe it to Ellen. She's like, it's from a body part of a very young person. And Ellen's like, from the foreskins of Korean babies? And she's like,
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the Huffington Post article is actually very helpful in understanding what this is and why. I guess the extraction from the foreskins helps generate collagen and elastin, which is very good for us geriatric skinned mamas. But here's a quote so you can understand what's going on here.
Okay.
This is from the Huffington Post. The treatment involves the use of something called epidermal growth factors, or EGF for short, which are derived from stem cells taken from the discarded foreskins of newborn babies in Korea.
Whoa.
EGF is said to help rejuvenate the skin, improve overall skin texture, and correct discoloration. It's also known for its ability to aid in wound healing.
Okay.
So what they... Okay. You know what? They don't call it the penis facial. Okay. They call it the Hollywood EGF facial treatment. And if you want it, Laura, you can just go to the Georgia Louise Atelier in New York. It's a salon.
Oh, that's all?
That's all. Oh, well. And for the small price tag of $650.
How many treatments do you need?
That's a good question.
It can't be one. I mean... Baby foreskin cannot work on just one treatment.
No, you probably need multiple. And here's the real kicker. It works best if you micro-needle it into your face.
Oh, no.
Which means like poking a bunch of tiny holes in your face with needles and then shoving this foreskin juice into your skin.
Oh, God.
Am I grossing everyone out? I hope everyone's eaten breakfast this morning.
Oh, my God. I just, okay, so there's so many things wrong with this. First, it's probably all bullshit, right? Like, you can't, like, inject stem cells into your face and make your face grow collagen. Like, I really don't think that's true.
I don't. But I do have to say her skin did look gorgeous.
Yeah, because she's a fucking actress and that's her job. Like, she spends all her time looking gorgeous, you know, like,
and she's absolutely wildly rich, so she can afford any and everything to slather on that.
Yeah, she probably heard $650. That's so affordable, you know.
She's like, I might as well just go to Walgreens and buy something off the shelf.
Oh man. Okay, so there's that, the problem, which I don't think it actually would work. Then the problem of like, are these foreskins harvested with consent? Like, do moms in Korea?
From the one-day-old baby?
Well, no, from the moms. Like, the moms know that when they go to circumcise their baby, that their little baby's foreskins are going to be turned into, like, rich people stupid facials?
That is a really good question. One thing that was said in the article I definitely need to point out, and I think maybe helps this a little bit, is that the cells that are used in this facial cream are actually cloned cells from the foreskins. So they are not actually like little baby skin on your face. They're cloned cells from that.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know if that's something that people sign off on as being okay to use for.
I'm going to doubt it. Yeah, I also just have to say, like, hats off to Korea. Like, South Korea and their beauty routines, like, they put us all to shame.
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, aren't they really big on, like, snail serum right now?
Snail serum is, I mean, when I went to Asia for my honeymoon in late 2016, I remember in Hong Kong, all the signs, like, in the, you know, the ads in the subway were all for, like, snail juice serum. I also realized that, like, you know, in a lot of Asia, like in Hong Kong, this was very clear, but I think in Korea, this is true too. Like being very pale, very fair skinned is like, you know, a thing that people want as opposed to here.
Oh my God, finally somewhere that my pale skin.
Right? Translucent skin. And I realized I was like, I'm in my place where like my fair skin is finally, you know, preferable. But the amount of wrinkles I have and like sunspots and like I have not taken good enough care of my skin. My friend Shin, actually, she's one of my oldest friends from high school. Her parents are, you know, immigrants from Korea and she's, I guess that makes her second generation. I never remember first, second generation. But anyway, she's, you know, steeped in Korean culture, and she gives me shit every time she sees me about my face.
So, really?
Well, like the routines. The last time I saw her was, you know, spent overnight with her was for my bachelorette weekend. And a highlight of the weekend was her giving us all a lecture on how we're doing our skincare wrong and showing us her skincare routine, which is like 7 steps.
What? I think we need her as a guest on the show to teach us everything.
I think she would love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm the worst. I'm just like, oh, this thing's $5 at Trader Joe's. Okay, I'll put it on my face.
She's like a high-powered investment person. I don't even really understand what she does. And she has like very good skin. So, you know, it's hard to argue. But anyway, again, hats off to Korea for finding the craziest ways of making you look young or think you're going to look young. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do have to say, I have a Korean BB cream, or it's actually, I think, a CC cream. That's like, you know, it's like tinted moisturizer, basically. I really like it.
Good. But yeah. I was using some Korean products for a while, and I think then I had a baby, and that priority kind of went out the window. But I would like to come back to it. But one thing I wanted to add is if you're not comfortable slathering your face in foreskins, facials can and have also been made out of the following: placentas, urine, colostrum, and your own blood. So there's options.
Oh, I know about the blood facial. That shit is weird.
Yeah, what is it? They take your own blood and
they like take your blood out, then they like centrifuge it, I think, to get like the platelets or something, and then they do that microneedling shit. So your face looks like it's bleeding. It's disgusting.
I really want our listeners to write us and let us know if you've done any of this stuff.
Please.
Because I want to know what it's like. Please.
And set us straight. If I'm like super judgy, I'm sorry. Like, you can do what you need to do to make your you make yourself feel good. I'm not ready to microneedle my own serum back into my face.
Well, I don't know that you would do it yourself. I think you would have a technician do it, but still.
There's no DIY kit for that. How about the baby foreskin?
Well, we've got our beauty regimens cut out for us, Laura, in the days to come. We will update everyone. Anyway, what about you? What have you discovered online lately?
So my internet insanity is this amazing thing that I found on Instagram. Actually, our former guest, Teresa Kearns, the midwife from episode 10, sent this to me because she was challenging me to do this, and she had done this with her own son. And it is hashtag thigh drop challenge.
What? No, what is this?
Like, so at first, well, she sent me this thing. It was like thigh drop challenge. I was like, ooh, this sounds like thigh gap, you know?
That's what I'm thinking too, yeah.
What is this about? But when you go to Instagram and put in hashtag thigh drop challenge, you are confronted, nay, gifted with a bunch of videos in slow motion of people picking up their baby's legs and then dropping them and then watching their thighs jiggle in slow motion.
Oh my God. Please give me a moment to look this up. What's it called?
Thigh drop challenge.
Drop challenge. Okay. Okay. Thigh drop challenge. Oh, that's so cute.
It's just chubby baby leg after chubby baby leg slowly dropping. And when I mean dropping, like, you know, they're sitting or lying down and they just pick their baby's leg and let it drop down, you know, naturally. It's not like they're getting dropped on the floor. And the jiggles.
Oh, my God. I feel like my baby would be a very good contender for this.
Oh, yeah. Cece's got good thigh chub.
She is so chubby. She gets comments on it from strangers all the time.
My guy has – he's starting to get chubbier thighs, but he's still in the, like, 10th percentile. So, you know, it's not as good. So I tried to do it, by the way. You know, Teresa wanted me – you know, it was a challenge. It's not the thigh drop enjoyment. It's the thigh drop challenge. So – I tried, but my guy never stops moving, like, ever.
No, he doesn't. He's a moving little guy.
He doesn't sit still. So I tried to drop his leg, and he was just like, oh, I'm just going to hold it up. I'm just going to, like, jiggle it around myself. So I got a slow-mo of, you know, him sort of kicking his legs, and there was definitely some wobble there, but I was a little disappointed because I couldn't quite get my proper thigh drop.
Well, you have time. I mean, I feel like you could probably do this up until 1 year of age, maybe.
I think that's a good plan. I mean, that would be even better than those, like, monthly pictures you take of, like, just every month do a thigh drop challenge. And my baby is 8 months old. My baby is 9 months old. Check out this chunk of leg.
Watch how the chunk increases. Put a little icon on there with 9 months on it.
Oh my god, there's one with two babies next to each other. I don't know if they're twins or just friends. It's so cute. Oh my god. So I highly encourage our listeners to go to Instagram and look up hashtag thigh drop challenge. And also, we want to see your thigh drop challenges. So
yes.
Make sure you tag us on Instagram. It's at BFP Podcast. So, like, send them to us. I'm dying to see your baby's jiggly, chunky thighs.
Me too.
That sounds weird, but you know I mean it in the best way. I could just scroll through this forever, but I think maybe we should take a break and then go to our BFPs and BFNs.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. out and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back and we're going to wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
Okay, so I think this is a BFP. It kind of feels like a BFN, but I think it's a BFP because it
Is it a BFM? Big fat medium?
Ooh. That seems like an oxymoron, a big fat medium.
Yeah, it does. Okay, forget I said it.
No, that's funny. Yeah, I don't know. So actually, I'd love your opinion on this, but I just kind of want to talk about it because it's been on my mind. So I've been seeing this quote floating around Facebook and Instagram and all those social medias ever since the summer began, and we're starting to get to the end of the summer. Like, the summer is waning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this has been on my mind. Okay, so here's the quote. The quote is, "We get 18 delicious summers with our children. This is one of your 18. If that's not perspective, I don't know what is." And it's attributed to someone named Jessica Scott. I can't verify that. But this idea that you only have 18 summers with your children, it fucked me up, Shauna. It screwed with my brain.
Well, my heart sank when I heard you read it. So, yeah, that's, but it sank in a happy, sad way. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of a mind fuck.
Yeah, it's really rough. And so I, of course, you know, instantly I read that and I was like, oh my God, I've wasted the first one, you know, like, but also it did make me think like, no, you know, I didn't waste it. You spent it with him. You know, really took your time, you know, time passes and there's nothing you can do about it. But, you know, it made me take a moment and really reflect and realize that like, yes, you know, it feels like when you have a baby, like the baby's never going to grow up. You know what I mean? Like, you're so in this world of, you know, naps and sleep and feeding and breastfeeding and all this stuff that you're just like, you're in this fog of having an infant that it's so hard to even conceptualize that they're ever going to be grown-ups, you know, even or even like little kids, you know? And when you hear something like that, 18, you know, 18 is such a small number. Like, you know, I have like more knitting works in progress than 18, you know, yeah. Like, so.
I think I have more years alive after high school. No, I definitely do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to out you, but people know you're older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting and impressive. And I don't know. I feel like it's a sad thing, but also a good thing to be reminded of. So,
And also summer is such a special time. Like, it's a very specific quote to a time in my childhood that was the most memorable, mostly just because school was out of session. But
yeah.
It just really felt so fun, and you got to do all the carefree, wonderful things. And, you know, it's a little harder to do when you have a newborn and a very small infant, because our spring kind of bled into our summer, which is bleeding into our fall. So there's not really that delineation. But I get what they're saying there, and it makes me very wistful and nostalgic for my childhood and wanting to give my babies the same kind of adventurous, fun, memorable summer.
Yeah. I do think there could be a downside to this, which is like putting too much pressure on you. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much pressure on moms to do everything right and make the most of every moment that, like, I wouldn't want this quote to do that to anyone. But I mean, it's hard to argue with it. It's true. You really do only have 18 summers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can extrapolate that. That's, you know, 18 times 3 months. And then, you know, it's not a short amount of time, you know, but it's finite, you know. And that's if you're lucky, you know, if you get all your summers. So, well, like, I graduated from high school a year early. So I, like, totally cheated my parents of one of my summers.
You totally did.
I did.
Oh,
so
man.
Anyway, I hope, you know, with the last days of summer, we're really, you know, cherishing them in the way that we want to and need to, and not putting extra pressure, just, you know, I think reflection never hurts, right?
Reflection, exactly. This quote reminds me of something I also came across online maybe like a year or so ago, a kind of thing that makes me also... It is a mind fuck for me, but also in that way of like, remember to cherish the moments.
Embracing myself.
And it was this. At some point, your parents picked you up, put you down, and never picked you back up again.
That's awesome.
Which is so weird and so crazy.
It's so true.
To think about. But like, yes, my parents held me for the last time. Like, obviously, they haven't picked me up in decades. And when is going to be the last time I'm going to pick up Cece or Elle? You know, Elle's 3.5 now. She's getting heavier. I foresee a few more years of, you know, at least occasionally picking her up and being able to do that. But yeah, it's just one of those things that's like, oh, yeah, this experience as you know it is at some point going to come to an end, and it's just like,
it's a good thing to remember when they are like fussy and like,
yes,
not wanting to play by themselves and reaching for you. Like, we get a lot of that in this house, and it's just like, I just want to put you down for a second, baby. Like, you know, okay, this isn't gonna last forever. There is gonna be a day where you don't want me to pick you up, and then I will cry, and you'll be like, ew, mom, stop crying. And I'll be like, you're my little baby. And he's like, I'm a big kid now. And then we're going to get in a fight. Yeah.
Well, he'll be 25 at that point, so it's all good.
I just want to go to my entry-level job, mom. Oh, well, yeah. Okay, so wait, is that a BFP or a BFN? What do you think?
I think that's a BFP.
Okay, I'll take it. So I have a BFP.
All right.
Shauna, what about you?
I have a BFN.
Oh.
So as I mentioned, I stopped breastfeeding.
Yep.
For some weird cosmic reason, on the same day I stopped breastfeeding, I started a new birth control pill, and I got my first postpartum period. All on the same day. So this week has been an emotional mess.
Oh, man. And you get pretty bad PMS, if I recall.
I do, but I got a really low dose birth control pill that my doctor prescribed me to try to avoid PMS.
Got it.
So that's the one I started. I had to start a new one because I quit breastfeeding. So the one I was on is like not going to protect from anything anymore. So yeah, just like new hormones going in my body, hormones leaving my body. The What is it? Breastfeeding releases oxytocin?
Yeah,
the feel-good hormone. Mm-hmm. So that's like on its way out. The progesterone and estrogen's on the way in. And then my body's like, we're just going to bleed. So I'm
cruel.
Yeah. So it was maybe not the best day for me to learn that my daughter only has 17 more summers.
Oh, no. If I had known, Shauna.
Right, I'm holding it together. Oh, so, man. Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's not too much to say. It's just I was without a period for a long time, and it was nice. It was really nice. So,
yeah, well, here we go again. Did I mention I got mine back at like 4 months, which is really rude?
Oh, that like, is rude.
I breastfeed constantly. Constantly. And I still got it back.
Oh, man. Ugh.
And the good thing is I got a Mirena IUD right about, I think, at 3 months postpartum. I can't remember exactly. But so that kind of stops you from having real periods anyway. So I'm hoping, like, I had, like, one cycle that was awful. And then I'm hoping it'll, like, cut down on the bleeding.
Yeah, I hope so.
I left my Mirena. I had my Mirena for 5 years before pulling it to try to conceive, and I'm a big fan of it. So, and one of the real benefits is that it really, like, almost gives you, like, non-existent periods. It's really interesting for me. I could still tell I was ovulating and I was cycling, but I just didn't have the bleeding.
Weird.
Which is great. And, you know, it's funny because I thought, like, maybe I'm imagining the ovulation, but then I took it out and I definitely knew I could tell when I was ovulating. Uh-huh. And it all synced up with, you know, when I ended up conceiving and I started doing the, like, you know, ovulation test kits, and they totally synced up. So, like, I can feel when I ovulate. It hurts. That's, there's actually German word for it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
Mittelschmerz.
I don't know why that's so funny. It means, it's like pain in the center, right? Or in the middle. Like,
I think so, yeah.
Middle schmerz. So I feel the middle schmerz. So yeah, anyway. But yeah, I feel for you.
Thank you.
I don't know what else to say. Anyway.
No. We shall recover.
Yes. We shall soldier on.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, that's pretty much it from me this week. And shall we wrap things up?
I think we should.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We really appreciate all the support, and we really love hearing from you guys. It's so wonderful to get messages from our listeners. Laura, remind everyone where they can reach us.
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. It's a closed group, so you have to ask to join, and that just keeps the conversations private. So click request to join. I will approve you, and you can join in the great conversations. We're having some awesome conversations in there.
Yeah,
love it.
It's fun.
Really fun stuff. Great stuff in there. And we also have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com, where you can go and you can see our show notes. You can see links to stuff we talked about in this episode. We have a page called Favorites. It's bigfatpositivepodcast.com/favorites, where we actually have like a big list of all the like BFPs we've had. So you can just like quickly find something that we talked about. And we also have a registry page. I think you probably heard an ad for it earlier, where you can like see our favorite items for baby registries. So go check that out, bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
And if you love the show, please spread the word. If you know someone who's pregnant or a new parent, we would love for you to let them know about Big Fat Positive. And please leave us a rating and review on whatever platform you listen to podcasts. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Burek, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.